Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody on this seventh Sunday after Epiphany. And also, this is manifestation of Christ on the mountain Sunday, too. And the word is slipping my mind right now. But anyways, we want to welcome all of you today, and we are so glad that you're with us and that you can join with us in worship today. And we also want to welcome those that'll be listening later on online. And today we are gathering to worship the Lord and experience His presence with us and continue in our pondering and considering and thinking about our experience with Jesus and what He means to us. And a little bit later on, we'll be continuing in that series. So we're glad that you're here today and hope that you experience God's blessing in this place. So as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. Listen, for God is still speaking. Look, for God is in our midst.
We open our eyes to see God's wonders.
Worship, for God is in our midst. Well, let's join together there. You can turn into hymn books to hymn number 705, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. I'll Fly Away this morning. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home. Join together there for our opening prayer. God of glory, grace us with your presence. Overwhelm us with your love. Guide us with your wisdom and fill us with your Holy Spirit. As we worship and praise you this day, Amen. And you may be seated this morning.
Charlie Brown's Christmas show. You've never seen
deprive you of You've seen it before? Yeah.
It was in the ocean.
Well, I didn't know Charlie Brown was in the ocean. You may have been thinking of one of the others where Snoopy was flying his doghouse over the ocean. Yeah, yes. I do remember that one. He was fighting against the Red Baron. That was that episode. Yeah, but does anybody remember what happens in that movie? His in the show, his Christmas tree that he went out and got. They put a bulb on it and it fell over and almost broke. And it was all sad. And he was so sad. And there were some other things that happened, but all of a sudden he says, "Can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about?" And Linus, his friend, you know, the one that carries the blanket, usually sucks his thumb. He came along and he goes, "I can tell you, Charlie Brown, what Christmas is all about." Oh, you did that too? Yeah. You know what he said? He read from Luke chapter 2, where it says the angels, the shepherds were out in the field watching their flocks, and suddenly a big angel choir appeared and began singing in the sky. And the angels were stopped and they looked. And then it says, "Do not be one of the angels." Hold on a minute, let me finish this up, because this is the most important part. He said, one of the angels said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for I have good news. In the city of David, there is a Savior that is born, who is Christ the Lord." Jesus, our Savior. He came and brought God's presence in a new way, hold on, into our world to show us how important we are to God. That's what Jesus is all about. Yeah, I know there's bugs, yes. Yeah. Okay, well, let me finish what I'm doing here, okay? All right, so when we think of Jesus as Savior, we're thinking of how much God loves us and that Jesus came into the world to do God's work and to bring God's saving presence. Because that's what Savior means. Savior means that God comes to save us, make us whole, make us one, make us new, heal us, all of those things. And that's because of how much God loves us. And that's why Jesus came into the world. Because God loves us so much. And when we reach out to Jesus, He will save us. And that's the language there. He will make us whole. Okay? All right. You can go downstairs and you can kill as many bugs as you want to down there. I do not care. Miss Diane will take care of all that. Maybe you have a joy or concern this morning that you would like to share as we go to prayer today, and we're going to let you do that. So somebody this morning, joy or concern? Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. You better believe it. When she started talking, I was like, oh my gosh. She is full of life and energy. And yes, she is just something else. And that's just what a blessing. God, thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Just keeping in prayer, he's got a long way, and
Is he still in a lot of pain, or is that getting better? Oh, I cannot imagine. That's almost like a burn kind of a thing.
He's supposed to go for his second surgery tomorrow, and I don't know if that's still on because the wound was not looking good.
You don't want to shock the body too much that it can't recover from it. That's that trembling is part of that shock, and hopefully they'll have wisdom, and maybe we need to pray that the doctors will use some wisdom there about that for sure. And we want to lift up Bill in our prayers today. Somebody else.
Eddie Schaus and his family, he's home. He's home because they didn't want to go through the way hospice was going to take care of him. They want to give him every chance.
Okay.
And Ellie's learning to use her leg.
Ah, wonderful. I kept asking her about that, so that's good. And so we want to continue praying for strength for Ellie and for God's touch there. Somebody else? Yeah. Okay. Someone else? Yeah.
I have a concern and a joy.
Who?
Courtney, Trey.
Okay, yes.
And her baby's not due until April. She's still not feeling very well, but she's, I don't know. And then Brooke and Austin were over last night with the right book and everything. On the very last page, it said, "Welcome, Baby Rush, October."
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah, congratulations.
Really beautiful picture of you and having your book.
Yeah. That's great. We want to remember Courtney in our prayers, and hopefully everything's okay. How far along did you say she was?
She's not due till April.
Okay, so she's got a couple months yet, but yeah.
Well, she just became a nurse and supposed to start Monday.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, she's a tough bird. Just from, I don't know her real well, but just a little bit I know, so. Someone else. Yeah.
Baby Co's feeling better. He still has to have oxygen, and they're praying that he'll maybe get to go home this week. But if he does, he's still going to have to take oxygen with him. So his airway's open up good.
So we want to continue praying for strength for those lungs and then hopefully he'll be able to go home. I know that would probably be a blessing to mom and dad. Yeah, to be able to go home with him. Someone else. Yeah.
Barbara Bowman got her tubes pulled out this week, and she's home now, as I understand.
Okay, so we want to remember Barbara as she's recovering. And anybody else?
Yeah, Harold Kingery's family, his funeral was Friday. He was a classmate of mine, and he healthy and then became sick. A couple weeks' time, he died.
You said Kingery, right? Kingery. That's what I thought, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I knew some of the kids from school, so yeah. So we want to remember the Kingery family, also the Francis family, as we're mentioning them for both of those losses there, and yeah. Okay, unspoken. Somebody else? Anybody else? Yep, Betty.
Diana Beasley, she has beginning to have Alzheimer's.
Yes, I've talked to a couple people, and the last time I saw her, I started to see she was having more trouble with that. Appreciate your prayers for Jody's dad, Bruce, who had treatment, not this past week, but the week before. But he's just, the last few days has just been really rough. Jody's been over there a lot. I'm assuming since she's not here, that's probably where she is. And just it's just been a lot of stress, and appreciate your prayers for strength for him. And Jody's sister Jill started treatment also. She had a few days where it was bad, but she's better now. Jody and her got to sneak away for just an hour or so, as long as Jill could handle it, to do some shopping. And also, I'd appreciate your prayers. Jody is facing a situation, and she needs some real wisdom, and she needs God's favor, and she's going to be facing this tomorrow. And we just really appreciate your prayers for her, and that God would give her favor in this situation. And I'd appreciate that very much. Anybody else before we go to prayer this morning?
I want to thank everybody. We weren't here to tell you the whole story for praying for David Friend. Most of you graduated from high school with him, so you know what kind of person he is. He had flesh-eating disease is what it was in his foot. They removed quite a bit of that. He's had 4 or 5 surgeries. His wife texted yesterday. He is back at Upper Valley finally. They have his numbers are steady now, and they started his rehab. And she said it's really, really hard, but Dave is a fighter, she said, and you all know that. So I have an address for him at Upper Valley. I know he's loved to hear from old football friends or whoever. So if you want the address, I'll post it on the board downstairs. Send him a card.
Good. And we want to continue praying for Richard, for him, for strength, and also for Diane Braun, who is battling cancer. That was turned in as a slip last week, and we definitely want to keep her in our prayers. And also for Josh and Sydney, who are having some fertility issues there, asking that God would bless and help to work all that out there with them. Appreciate that. Any others then, before we go to prayer? All right. Well, there's quite a few names there that has been mentioned. And so as she plays, it'll give you a moment or so there to pray for some of those names that pop into your head. And then I will close us out. As we just pause today, we just want to thank you for your goodness in our lives, your grace in our lives. We're thankful for Jesus, who we've been talking about and thinking about here in a different and new way as we reflect on his life. We're so grateful that he is with us and that his Spirit is with us every day. And as we face the situations of life, we definitely need your strength and your grace to go with us and your wisdom to guide us. And Lord, we think about these needs that have been mentioned today. Lord, we want to lift all of them up. There's so many of them today. We're thinking about Richard for strength, for Bill, Lord, that just needs healing from these wounds, Lord. And I just pray that doctors will be very sensitive and have wisdom whether to know whether to do this next surgery or not. And I ask that you would guide there. We pray for Diana this morning, God, that you would continue to bring strength and healing and grace to her. For Eddie, Lord God, your continued touch and grace there. For David, Lord, who's recovering, Lord. For Ellie, Lord, that needs strength today. Lord, we pray for Courtney, Lord, for a couple of these early contractions. We don't know exactly what's going on, but we just ask for your grace and your peace for her and your touch, and continue to give her strength, Lord. For Koa, Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to bring healing to his lungs and help those lungs to get stronger as they develop, and that he'll be able to go home soon to be with the family. Lord, we pray for Barbara, Lord, that just needs your touch as she's recovering, Lord, today. Lord, we pray for Bruce, Lord, that just needs your strength, God, today. Lord, we pray for Diane that's battling cancer, Lord. We just ask for your healing touch and grace there. Lord, we pray for Josh and Sydney, Lord, that you would just open the door there as only you know how to do, and that you will grant them your grace and healing touch, whatever needs to happen there, Lord. You're the one that knows that, and that you can work. We lift up Jody to you, Lord, that you'll give her grace and that you'll give her wisdom and that you'll give her favor, Lord, for tomorrow, God, and that you'll guide and direct there. Lord, we pray for the Kingery family and the Francis family with the loss of these loved ones, God, that you would grant your peace and your grace to them, the families, Lord, for these. And Lord, that you will just be with them during this time. Lord, we lift up these unspoken needs today, Lord, the two that were mentioned. We know that you know what those needs are and that you would minister as only you can do by your grace. And we're thankful and grateful for that. And Lord, we just ask your blessing upon the rest of this time of our service, Lord, as we break the bread of your word. May you just speak to us and encourage us and help us to see Jesus in a new light as Savior and what he has done and what he is continuing to do in our lives. And we're so thankful for all of that, and that your presence will continue to be real in our midst when we gather together, that people might be encouraged and lifted up and touched as only you can do. And we're so thankful for all of these things as we ask it now in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Thank you for joining with us in prayer today. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And again, as I always say, thank you so much for your faithfulness. And that's how we continue the work of the ministry here and continue to reach out and send forth our missions groups and work and all that that goes forth. And we thank God, because God is the one that provides and makes a way. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. Mighty God, multiply the gifts we return to you now, that they may empower the lives of many with your glory and your grace. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture readings are coming from a lot of places this morning. Quite a few of them. And one of the things I wanted you to notice is I've kept them all from the Gospels. And because I want to focus on Jesus and his view and how he sees himself as Savior this morning. So we'll begin with our Matthew 16 passage there. And what about you? Who do you say that I am? And then let's read Luke chapter 2, which is what I alluded to with the kids this morning. Luke 2, 8 through 11. Nearby shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you. Wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord." And then some verses from John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, verse 39 and verse 42. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life." Many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's word when she testified, "He told me everything I've ever done." Many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know this one is truly the Savior of the world." And then John chapter 17, verse 3, "This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent." That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit will give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us today. Well, a little boy was afraid of the dentist. So his father decided to set the example and have his teeth examined too. The dentist looked inside his father's mouth and said, Oh, there's a tooth that needs to be pulled. It's really bad." Well, the father asked, "Well, how much will it cost?" And the dentist answered, "We charge $35 a tooth." Then the dentist asked, "Well, how long will it take to pull?" And the dentist said, "Oh, about a minute." Well, the father kind of got upset and he said, "You mean I get paid by the hour? And when I'm thinking of paying $35 for a minute's work, that's a terribly high hourly wage." Well, the dentist said, "I can pull the tooth more slowly if you like." I don't know. Maybe some of you are like that kid and don't like the dentist. I'm not sure. Oh, well. Who is Jesus really? Who is Jesus really? So my first recollection as I was thinking back this week, maybe there was more, but at least what I recall, of hearing Jesus called Savior comes from two sources. One is the more traditional source in church at our annual Christmas kids program that they put on every year at Kettlersville when I was growing up and I was a part of when I was little. I can remember being a shepherd. I think several years I was shepherds. And then when you get old enough, then you graduate to the youth choir who sings all the traditional Christmas hymns in between the kids doing their little actions. If you remember some of those Christmas programs that I think were almost everywhere when we were growing up. And it was always where the Luke chapter 2 story was read. And that's where I first heard about Jesus as Savior. The other source, an odd source, that I shared with the kids this morning was the Charlie Brown Christmas Story. And that classic holiday cartoon that first aired on television in 1965. And yes, I was much older past that when I first saw it. And poor Charlie Brown, nobody remembered the true meaning of Christmas. And he was so depressed. And then there's that final scene where Linus steps forward and recites the verse that we just read a moment ago from Luke chapter 2. Now, Savior is probably one of the most common ways that we think and describe Jesus. Probably that's the majority of the way that we think of Jesus and describe him. And this is especially true for Western Christianity, where the emphasis is always on Jesus as the one who saves us from our sin and death. Yet oddly, and I found this odd as I was doing research this week, Savior only appears twice in all the Gospels. And I read the two this morning, the one from John chapter 4 and the one from Luke chapter 2. And one that begins the story of Jesus at his birth, and one where Jesus encounters a woman at the well and starts talking to her about this living water. And he can give this water that bubbles up into eternal life. At first, she was confused and thought he was talking about getting a drink out of the well, which originally started the conversation, if you read there in John chapter 4. But then we hear that she experiences Jesus. And she goes off and starts telling her friends in Samaria. And then they hear the good news. And they report back to her, "This is truly the Savior of the world." And so when people experience Jesus, and it's probably you and I also, we need to consider a couple things. And I want us to look at it a little bit differently than the way you probably think of it. And I want you to see what Jesus was doing while he was here and what he continues to do for us in our lives today. So let's look at it here. And the first thing I want us to look at is Jesus as wholeness. Wholeness. Or the word, the Old Testament word shalom, which we think of peace and wholeness. What are we saying? What am I saying when I talk about Jesus as Savior in connection with wholeness? Wholeness. I'm talking about Jesus as Savior, meaning that God has provided a way through Jesus to heal this broken world. In other words, salvation and Jesus as Savior is about transformation. That's why Jesus came into the world. Because everything that you read about prior in the Old Testament and everything, there was no real transformation that was happening. And people still acted in certain ways. In fact, the word salvation originally meant being made whole or safe or in health. And it's a broad word that means a lot more than what we usually think of as forgiving our sins so we can go to heaven. But salvation is so much more than that. Salvation is not about being taken out of this life or taking over this life. It's about being healed and transformed so we can make a difference in this life. And so, if you could say it this way, Jesus is Savior means that Jesus embodies transformation. Let me just share some things that you'll be familiar with and think about what all these titles mean. He is our deliverer. He is our healer. He is our light. He is the good shepherd. He is the peacemaker. He is the life-giving vine. He is the living bread. He is the water of life. He is the resurrection and the life. He gives sight to the blind, brings life out of death, and forgiveness of sins. What does all that mean? It means He is the one that brings transformation in our lives. And the word salvation perfectly describes this vision of transformation. A vision of God's world that is renewed in justice and mercy and peace and well-being and comfort and wholeness through Jesus. This was the dream of the prophets of old. If you go back and read them, where oppression ends and mercy reigns and violence and war ceases and all live safely under their own vine and fig tree. The rabbis used to talk often about dwelling in safety and living under our own vine and fig tree. In other words, it's a picture of abundant life. So that brings me to my next point here, and that is Jesus as presence and life. Again, two metaphors that Jesus uses to help us grasp this vision of God's salvation and wholeness and new creation for the world that Jesus is bringing. So let's look at it. First of all, Jesus as Savior means God's saving reign or presence is among us through Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. One of Jesus' famous sayings that I've quoted often, you've heard me say, is that, and I believe it's a promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. Now, when we go back and we think about through the Gospels what Jesus was doing, He healed people. He loved people. He accepted people. He forgave sins. He delivered them. I mean, all kinds of stories. That's His presence. When He shows up, that's what happens. Because He said He was bringing God's reign. The kingdom of God is among you because I am here. And He says, when you see the sick healed and the dead raised, you know that the kingdom of God is among you. That's God's reign. That's God's saving presence that is with Jesus. So initially, God's saving presence took place through Jesus' ministry on earth when He was here. And we read about it in the Gospels. Then through His death and resurrection. And now we experience Jesus as Savior through faith and baptism and trusting in His presence and His grace and in His provision and His forgiveness and in His healing power working in us and among us through the Holy Spirit so that we can go forth and serve and be a blessing to others. Because if you follow the Gospels and go right into the book of Acts, what did the disciples do? They went out and told people about what Jesus was doing. And God continued to heal people and save people and deliver people. In other words, it's a daily walk of faith in following the Lord. At confirmation, I remember being asked, like I asked the kids last year, do you confess Jesus as your Savior? And I happily answered, I do. But I have learned over the years that confessing Jesus as Savior in baptism or confession or confirmation or at an altar call or somebody praying with you or however that happened for you and however it's going to happen for people in the future is only the beginning of salvation. A lot of people think, oh, I'm saved. I don't need to do anything else. Don't need to go to church. Don't need to serve. Don't need to make a difference in people's lives. No, that's wrong thinking. That's just the beginning. Because trusting in His presence and daily grace and following Him by serving others is the path of discipleship that Jesus taught us. So what am I saying in all of this? Is that Jesus as Savior means Jesus is our source of abundant life. We receive that, we experience that, and we live our lives every day with that. He not only brings abundant life, but his spirit in us is that spirit of abundant life, eternal life, bubbling up within us, as we read from that John chapter 4. And knowing God as revealed in Jesus is that abundant life. It's a walk of trust. It's experiencing him daily. It's a life of transformation and wholeness and worship and service for our King. So who is Jesus? He is our Savior. God sent him into this world to bring God's healing, saving presence among us and provide us with abundant life. Maybe you're like me and you've experienced Jesus as Savior, but you're struggling sometimes with the way Christians represent Jesus in the world. Whatever the case, you're not alone, and you're welcome to continue to experience Jesus anew. That's what's so great about Jesus. He continues to reveal himself to us and shows himself, bringing forth God's saving, renewing, transforming work in our lives. And we can experience that abundant life that he shares with us. Next week, we will encounter Jesus as Lord. Who are you, Jesus? Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a moment or two and go ahead and take some time to greet one another and share God's blessing. And then we will close out and sing that chorus, "Oh, the glory of your presence." Together and sing it this morning. Oh, the glory of your presence. We'll sing it through twice this morning.
Fills this place.
Let's join together for our benediction. In God's strength and power,
we go now to serve.
May God's wonders inspire us. May Christ, our Savior, restore us. And may the Holy Spirit's joy empower us to shine wherever we go. Amen. Amen.